welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And boy, if we, I know we say this like every single time there's a DCU one. Like, boy, they're really releasing these DCU movies out fast. But I kid you not, it feels like we're getting them like every 2 months. Like, you know, I mean, it's not really a bad thing, but it, you know, I mean, I guess I'm spending like over $100 plus on DCU movies a year because of it. But
I'm wondering if they're doing this thing where they're trying to, well, you know what? We got a streaming service now, and it doesn't take long for these things to end up on the streaming service. Like, I think the first Batman Long Halloween is already on there. You know what I mean? Where before, it felt like those would almost be almost like a whole year, like 6 months before. Maybe the first one has been 6 months by now. I don't know. But I feel like they've just been coming out way quicker, and I'm guessing they have more animation teams. Maybe they're just trying to really push DC a lot more. Now, I feel I'll say this is not by any means an interesting part of the podcast, but usually we like to go out and get the physical copy, and for whatever reason, like a bunch of big chain stores around here can't just, I don't know why. We do this, we try, whenever these come out, we try and do them as soon as possible. But a bunch of big chain stores just didn't have them for whatever reason, so I had to buy this one digitally, and yeah, so I don't really have any of the special features on this, so
I'm gonna say this is one of the few ones that, like, you're not really missing out a whole lot on. I'm not saying the special features weren't bad, but it just has, like, a 30-minute, like, roundtable discussion just between the producer, director, and writer and some other dude. And
you probably find that on YouTube.
It's not a bad one, but, I mean, like, it doesn't have, like, there's no animated shorts. There's no, like, you know, preview of the next one or anything like that. So, I mean, like, it was, I mean, not saying in a bad way, but it was a little bit more bare bones. I mean, it's still got, like, there's always, like, two old school DC cartoons on there and so on like that. But
I think the next one is going to be the Catwoman anime one.
I think so. But for some reason, they didn't have the trailer or anything for it on this one, like they mostly do. So, But this one right here, I kid you not, this is that thing that, like, it was kind of like, oh, okay, cool, Injustice, you know, I mean... played the games and everything like that. You know, I wasn't thinking less upon or anything like that, but it was just kind of like, oh, okay, neat. You know, I've seen that story before, but why not? Let's see it again and so on. But I kid you not, this movie right here, I think, is like almost like about as high bar DCU as you can kind of get. Like, I was just going in with like the sort of the lukewarm feeling, but like I was watching this, was like, oh, well, they give you sort of Injustice type storylines and so on. But they also give you all kinds of other stuff that, like, just feels like it really just delivers the whole way through. And I was pretty darn impressed with this one, to tell you the truth.
I'll say that I liked this one. This one's more of like a mid-tier DC flick, DC animated movie for me. I wasn't, like, amped, like, oh, I need an Injustice movie. When I heard it was coming out, like, oh, I make, there's so many comics by this point and two games and spin-off games. So by now, I'll be like, all right, well, it's only a matter of time before an Injustice animated thing came out eventually. And when I watched it, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I really have no major complaints. I guess all the complaints I would have would be more of just kind of like, I guess, derivative of Injustice itself as a franchise within DC. You know what I mean? But, I mean, I really have no major complaints. It's more of just kind of like, there's so many characters in it, and some of the things they do with some of the characters just kind of sweep under the rug. Like, let me say this. If you're a Flash fan, like, if you love if you're like, you know what, I'm not that big on DC, but I love the Flash, skip this movie.
Well, and you know what they're trying to do, though, is they're trying to get rid of, because Flash is almost the Deus Ex Machina character of DCU that, like, shit, if everything goes wrong, Flash, get on that fucking treadmill and run back in time, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, but what if my parents die? Who the fuck cares, Flash? Get on there and do it, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So I think that was the whole reason to kill him. They're like, hey, if we get rid of Flash, that gets rid of that, like, you know, I can turn back time, you know, gets rid of it.
Yeah, well, there's that,
ones,
but
when you're watching Injustice, I feel like that's one of those ones, like, if you kind of go in there and go, why are they killing people? It's like, did you not know what you tuned into? It's like, it's
well, he's a playable character in the game, to be fair. He's like, he's one of the main characters in, like, the game.
Well,
story,
and this one, I don't think it's really based off the game. I think it's one of those ones that, like, there's the comic book, which this actually made the comic book actually seem a lot more interesting. Because I remember when the comic came out, it was like, played the game. What I need the comic book for? But I think the comic book really just does its own thing and runs with it. It kind of takes that core concept, but it really has nothing to do with the game for the most part. And I think that's what this is all based off, too, because this, in a sense, isn't really that similar to the game either. I mean, it takes that standard concept of, like, what if Superman's world got turned upside down and the Joker, you know, killed Lois Lane and so on. This one, they really, like, drive it home. It's like, no, right off the fucking bat, Joker fucking shoots Jimmy Olsen in the fucking head.
Well, that was, yeah, because some of that stuff happened.
If you're a proud Irishman, you know, there goes your character right there.
Start playing the bagpipes.
Yeah, fuck that flash.
As you fold an Irish flag over the coffin.
You know what I mean? Like, you know. So it has that, but it's like, I think the whole thing, though, is this one just kind of, like, you know, is going off that. And that almost just, like, there's just a lot of neat dynamics in there. And that almost made me interested to go out and read those comics. I know that's also one of those series that just has, like, a crap ton of issues for in such a short span of time. But would be kind of neat. I mean, I guess if I had to say, if I have any light complaints, Superman's kind of a little bit of a dope in this one. Which, I hate to say it, but that always reminds me, like, when you get those kind of people, like, once you turn Superman kind of bad, it's always kind of, I don't know, they always put him, like, where he makes kind of just, like, stupid decisions over and over again. And I almost kind of will say this, like, you know, I know Batman gets, like, the thing where he's like, I'm smart. That's my superpower. But also, at the end of the day, Superman's probably not that far off from being Batman smart, you know, realistically.
Yeah, no, he's maybe not as, like, thought out or, like, as that many steps ahead as Batman is. But he's not an idiot. Mm-hmm. He's not, like, you know, they try to make... I'll say this, and this isn't... I feel like a lot of times, I feel like it mainly happens on fan projects whenever somebody has, like, or not even a fan project, when somebody has, like, a little standalone book where they want to emphasize this character or that character. And to be fair, they do this in a lot of Batman stories, but they do the thing where to make one, the main character seem so much better and so much smarter in every way, they make every other character around him dumber or weaker. And I feel like, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Dark Knight Returns, but that's really what they did with Superman in Dark Knight Returns. I mean, he wasn't, like, a bumbling oaf, but he was a little bit more, like, on Reagan's leash more than what he would be in the mainstay comics. Now, that's an Elseworld thing, so I get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like since then, there's a lot of... 'cause I remember seeing, like, every so often, like, someone would share, like, a... back when I was on social media, someone would share, like, you know, a DC fan-made thing, and there's, like, an Injustice one where it was meant to take place in the world of Injustice, and they do the thing where it's from Joker's... it's Joker's backstory, and they try to make it all, like, grim. They go to their way to make Joker the smartest, coolest guy ahead in the room, and everybody else around him, like, a fucking idiot. And the whole, like, Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen part, like, it was, like, Lois is like, I got an interview with the Joker. Like, I don't know about this, Lois. Shut the fuck up, Jimmy. Just take the pictures. This is a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The car rolls up, shoots Jimmy in the fucking head. Like, Jimmy, no! Grab Lois, pull her away, drive off, you know? So, and that day is the day that ended Metropolis and Superman's reign. Of, you know, so it's just like, oh, shut the fuck. It wouldn't be, like, way it happened in this is way more accurate. I don't know how it happened in the comic. But every so often, people just do those things where they just knock other characters down a peg, like, a ridiculous amount, to make this character that they just looked up a Wikipedia article on seem cooler than anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of does have that. I mean, and this one, as I said, that's probably, like, the smallest one is... Superman is kind of just a little bit of, like, kind of a goof in this one, in a sense. Like, he just does some dumb shit in here that I feel like Superman wouldn't do, but whatever. It's Earth 22, so I guess it's not normal Superman. You know what I mean? I mean, that even gets kind of, like, literally solved at the end. But, I mean, this is a little bit farther ahead, but once, you know, after, like, shit goes down, the Joker, like, you know, has, like, this master plan just to fuck with Superman and whatnot like that and blows up, you know, or not only kills Jimmy Olsen, not only kills Lois Lane even has Superman's son in her, and he decides to fucking blow up all of Metropolis, so it's like he's got nothing left. I mean, they really do, I will say, they fucking drive that nail home in this one. It's not just, because I remember, like, in the game sometimes when they just kind of had that, like, oh, the Joker killed Lois Lane. I'm like, I'm also going to say this. I think Superman, that would piss him off, but he has more restraint. You know what I mean? He's not, like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes they make Superman out like, it's like, well, he never really had tragedy. I'm like, What do you mean they never really had a trick?
Planet blowing up?
Yeah.
Being the only one left to erase?
Yeah.
Like, depending what iteration you got, like his parents dying, yeah, or his Earth parents, depending what iteration.
Well, and see, in this one, too, you know that it's sort of an Elseworlds story, because this one, for some reason, like, only, you know, Papa Kent's alive for some reason.
I'm going to give this credit for doing that, because it's always Ma Kent, and then, like, oh, what would your father say if he was to turn and look at the picture on, like, the fireplace or some shit, you know, where I'm like, oh, my God, they actually for once made it where John is still alive and Martha is dead.
Yeah, exactly. It would be funny if, like, that one where they're like, okay, we got to go capture, like, Superman's, like, you know, father and so on. It's just, like, it's just him at, like, the strip club, like, almost like Master Roshi. It's like, this is where his life turned into.
But Pa, what would Ma say? Your Ma can't see me all the way down from hell. Like, Dad, how can you say that? You didn't know that bitch like I did, Clark.
She's not your real mother, Clark. Takes another fucking swig from his Jack Daniels.
Now stop flapping your cock slot and hand me another 20.
Yeah. Yeah. I know you make good money. You fucking work at Metropolis. but yeah, so at least it kind of does, like, drive that in there, too. And at least, I will say, I like that there's actually, since there's more killing in this one, it does make it better than just Lois Lane. Because as I always thought in the game, I'm like, I know they just have that in the video game just so we can get Batman punching Superman and everybody else punching each other at some point, because it's a video game. You know what I mean? The story is all about, like, how can we get everybody fighting each other? That's all that matters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I do think somewhere in the game, it's been years since I played the story mode, but I want to say in the game, Joker did blow up Metropolis with a nuke somehow. And I don't know, maybe the comics went into more detail. I'm guessing that, well, actually, I know for a fact this pulled more from the comics, because, spoilers, when the way Nightwing is killed by Robin, yeah, Damian, how that comes into play, something similar like that happened in the comics. So I didn't actually read the comics. I just saw some stupid list thing somewhere, like, the most fucked up ways comic book characters died, you know. So, like, why did I just watch this? But, you know, it's like, oh, this is what that stupid Watch Mojo video was talking about. Okay. No, but, like, I just think it's kind of funny, and I don't want to harp on the Flash thing too long, because I get they probably, like, all right, well, he's very strong, he's very powerful. In this story, I guess you could dismiss this or dismiss that with his powers or whatever. But at the same time, just funny to me. Like, Lois died. Yeah, so did Flash. But Lois died!
Yeah.
So did Flash. Who's Flash? Like, the guy with the lightning bolt? The Shazammy boy? No, that's...
No, he's standing over there.
Fuck's he doing here?
I didn't fucking invite you. Wait, what's it say on the entrance? It says no fucking kids allowed. Say to fucking daycare.
But, yeah, driver's
but
license,
Superman,
no,
you're just about
out
to have a kid. Yeah, about to have a kid. Got that taken care of.
Well, I'll say that there's something I do like about this, because when you play the Injustice game, for people who've never played the Injustice video game, it's basically mainstay version of the superheroes get pulled into this fucked up world where Superman's become has become like a dictator of the world, more or less, and there's basically a superhero civil war, and he just gives an excuse to have Superman and Batman fight and Green Arrow fight and all this kind of stuff. I'll say that rather than just jumping right to that, it builds up to it, and you see the progression. Because for a minute, you are kind of like, I kind of see what he's doing, but you also at the same time know where it's leading. Like, well, that can go here, that can go there. And I even like that conversation with Mr. Terrific, where they're playing chess, and he's all like, okay, so we stop the nukes. All right, then we get rid of the guns. Well, you know what kills people more than guns? Smoking. So how are we going to deal with smokers? Are we going to destroy the tobacco industry? Are we going to arrest smokers? How are we going to do that? You know, and every time he's saying something, he's taking something off, like the playing board that on the
chess
game
board.
Of chess they're playing. Yeah, chessboard.
Yeah, no, that one's a cool one. And then it goes all the way, too. He's like, and then we'll take out the biggest crime of all, littering. And it's like, well, there's like Mr. Trim. I'm like, yeah, you're kind of selling me on the littering part.
There's the part when like they have like Ra's al Ghul, because Ra's al Ghul plays a bigger part in this than he did in the video game, because then he's like, I have like a Mazo here, and like I like how they're just like, it's a nice beautiful day in Smallville, and like all the places, like, we want to give this thing a test run, let's put it in a small town. And yeah, they just put it in Smallville, like the first place. Like, why the fuck would you put it in Smallville for a test run?
Superman's like, I only know two cities. That's it, you know what I mean? Like, remember, Superman's kind of a dope in this one, because literally Superman goes on TV at one point and says, okay, here's the thing, my name's Clark Kent, I came from outer space, this is my whole life story, here's my autobiography I just wrote, and so on like that, and I'm gonna be taking over the, you know, the entire planet, so suck it, everybody. And then it's like, he doesn't think to go get his dad after he announces all that fucking shit and put him in, like, some type of protection agency. No, he just leaves fucking dad at, like, the old farmhouse. So the first thing anybody knows goes, oh, okay, let's go find his relatives.
I did think it was interesting how they use Mirror Master to get his dad involved. Like, that's actually a cool concept.
Well, I will say, that's one of the coolest things about this movie, is they use just a lot of characters that don't ever get a whole lot of screen time, and they just kind of throw them in here. Even if they are just little parts and so on like that, it's just like, oh, that's badass. Like, it's like the Mr. Terrific stuff, using Mirror Master and so on, and even just the part two when they go to find Mirror Master after he, like, stakes Kent, and, like, Wonder Woman goes to, like, the bar and whatnot. It's the bar that, like, all, like, the villains hang out with at Flash Town. And I just think, just, you have all these characters in there, and, you know, granted that they're just there in the background and so on, but like, so many of those ones, like, God, these characters never get screen time.
You think that would have been a nonstop party, like, dude, Flash is fucking dead. You think that just would have been like a month long bender?
Yeah, I mean, maybe nobody got the word yet, because it just happened in like an underground, like, you know, subway tunnel. Maybe nobody's went even down there. They're like, well, there's not Joker gas, but there's
Scarecrow.
There's Scarecrow gas, because obviously Scarecrow's you know, like, little extra booby traps went off way too late.
Well, I also wondered, like, because for a minute I was like, I was wondering how close. I thought this was just maybe going to be is a prequel to the video game or something.
Because I don't think it has anything to do with the video game. I think it's literally all based off the comic book. Yeah, because the video game is like a complete. I mean, it's like the similar story, but it's almost completely different how everything goes. This is, I think, definitely off the comic.
Well, I'm wondering if the comic. So here's the thing. I'm wondering if the comic works as a prequel, or if it just takes the same concept and just runs with it, in which this maybe just takes from the comic in that case.
I think it just takes the concept and runs with it, because there's like six graphic novels of it.
Oh, okay. So it went on for a minute.
Yeah. I mean, like, and they're fatty graphic novels. They're all like 500-page graphic novels or something like that. So it's like, it's kind of like, I think it's in that same time period that Batman Eternal came out, where they probably were just like pumping those issues out like nobody's business. But
it would have been around that same time, yeah.
Yeah. So, I think that's kind of what it is, and that's why I think this one is kind of, like, completely different. Like, I think it really just takes from the comics of Injustice Year One. I think that's, like, sort of, like, the main part it's going with.
Well, I remember when I first played Injustice, because you got it before I did,
mm-hmm.
and you were telling me, like, well, they don't really, Superman's not really a bad guy, he's just more doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to come around a different way near the end of it. And then as soon as I went to your place and we turned on the story mode, Superman's like, this whole world will burn! Like, okay, never mind, scratch that.
Yeah.
And, like, this, I do like how there's more of a lead-in to before he never gets to that point, like, the world will burn. It becomes, he does become a dictator and becomes, like, beyond Red Sun Superman.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you still see he has humanity. Like, after Nightwing dies, he's there, and he's all like, he goes to Catwoman, he says, like, look, I can't talk to him right now because we're not on the best of terms, but he needs to talk to somebody, so go see him. Like those kind of scenes, you know?
Yeah, well, yeah, because so he still kind of has that, and it's still like he's making mistakes. I mean, and he's literally got Wonder Woman, like, on, like, his shoulder kind of going, like, do it. Fuck him. Put him in prison. Come on. Like, don't be a bitch. Like, you know what I mean? And I feel like Wonder Woman's just doing things like, she's like, dude, I just you know what? I need a new man to love. You know, my other one went down in a flaming wreck in a plane. So, you know,
she's the wonder enabler.
You know, I knew he was a good pilot. I just didn't realize he couldn't fly an invisible jet. That's the only thing.
Where's the landing gear?
Yeah, reaching around like there's no fucking controls. Why is it all invisible? You know, so it's like, because like the whole time Wonder Woman's like, yeah, fuck him. You know what? Fuck that Joker, you know? Yeah, you know what? Let's go to Israel right now in Palestine. We're going to make them fucking sign that paper. I love the look on their faces. Just the second that, like, the Superman's like, okay, guys, be best friends. He literally looks like the yard duty coming out when, like, two kids just fucking, like, were fighting each other. And they just, you know, these two children hate each other. There's nothing you're going to do. But you're like, no, you have to be friends now. Sign the paperwork that says that. Yeah, yeah. Yep, this is how.
Once a week, you guys got to sit at the same lunch table and talk about what you like about each other.
Yeah, and that's literally like the look on those guys' face when they're signing that. He's like, okay, yeah, yeah. If you don't sign it, guess what? You know, old Clark Kent's going to come by here and have to do it for you. And you don't want Clark to do that because he breaks your hand in the process.
Yeah, there's a lot of those kind of things. Like a lot of that gets kind of summed up in a montage and all that. It's more of like we just see like Superman makes a move, Batman makes a move, and Batman's slowly building up his team. And his team, it's different from the game, but it's a real oddball team. But it's really cool. It's like it's Green Arrow, the Atom, Huntress, Captain Atom, I guess Harley Quinn too, and Catwoman. So. Yeah, I thought that was just, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean Harley Quinn. I mean, this version of Harley Quinn, I didn't really totally hate, but this is still that crazy, like, chucklehead Harley, which I'm kind of tired of by this point.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, she's one of those other ones, she's a bit obnoxious in this, but there's also some moments, too, that almost kind of, like, slightly redeem it. Like, she kind of evens her way out. Like, one of my favorite parts is it's a little bit later in this thing, but, like, when... Because Green Arrow is like fucking in charge of like holding on to Harley Quinn because Batman's like, we can't let Superman find her. You know what I mean? Like, if he already punched his arm through, you know, the Joker, you know, I don't know what he's going to do to Harley. It's best we just don't know. So, Green Arrow, you take the burden of this, you know, because I ain't bringing it over to my house. Fuck that. You know what I mean?
You're a guardian now. You're you're a babysitter.
You know, and she kind of goes in and she just pretty much hassles him the whole time, just being like, why do you call it, you know, the arrow cave? That's fucking stupid. You should call it, like, the quiver or something like that, you know, which actually it does actually, I'm not going to lie, that line sounds like, well, the quiver actually does sound kind of cool.
Well, that is stuff out of the comics back when they were trying to figure out, like, okay, well, Batman sold, so what are we going to do? We'll make him like Batman, but it's like Robin Hood. And then, like, because he did have an arrow cave.
Well,
yeah,
no, I mean, like, he has the arrow cave, but in this one, she kind of makes the name of the quiver. And so on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like one of those ones. It's like it comes from Harley, but you're kind of like, oh, it actually does sound kind of not too bad.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, in the comics, that, like, in the actual comics, that was a thing that came up. So I thought that was funny how they brought it back around to this and how Harley, of all people, brought it up. But,
it's like, well, I didn't think. When he's there, like, this is the part I was kind of getting to. I love, like, when. They have, like, the meeting in, like, Batman's, like, 39th, like, you know, hideout place or whatnot. And then that's one of the funniest parts in the movie, though, is Green Arrow comes in of Harley and Batman has to look like, ugh, what the fuck? You're not supposed to bring her here. Like, she can't know my 39th hideout place and whatnot. Well, it's okay. I actually had a contingency plan for this and planned for it. Catwoman? And then she just, like, literally leads Harley Quinn over to, like, another room with, like, a TV on. It's almost like she just puts on fucking cartoons. Okay, sit here and don't make it and be quiet. Adults are talking.
Put on Netflix, kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that was, like, literally what it did. Like, I'm almost surprised because it's Warner Brothers, they didn't hit play and there was, like, Looney Tunes playing, like, on an old VHS or something.
Yeah, part of me was wondering that, too. Yeah, the whole, like, what was I going to say? There's somewhere I was going with that. The whole, like, Harley thing, like I said, she wasn't horrible in this, but it's still kind of that Harley I'm kind of a little tired of. I thought that Harley had a good balance in the new Suicide Squad movie, but by this point, I'm kind of like, after the Harley Quinn TV show, I'm like, this should be the baseline right here. She could be a little ditzy, but she's more of just dry, sarcastic, and has anger issues, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's like one of those ones, because I'm so picky about my Harley Quinn. It's like, animated series, that's where it's like dialed in the most, and then it's like,
that too.
There's everybody else sort of has these different versions of her that they like, and you know, so on, and obviously people really love this version because it appears in like almost everything by this point. But yeah, it's one of those characters, if they just took away Harley Quinn for like a very long time, I probably would be like, it's probably for the better. But I know that there's too many people that just love the living daylights out of that character.
Do you know who I thought was was that they utilized pretty well here? I thought Plastic Man did a good job.
Yeah. No. I think, because that's another one, too, that, you know, he appears in certain stuff, but, you know, once again, not not all the time, and just kind of utilizing him for, like, it's like almost that point where Batman's like, oh, shit. Ran out of all the good Justice League members. Oh, what? Guess we use your Plastic Man. You know, fine. You could go. You could go into depths that I can't go in my little bat sub. I didn't plan for it to go down. You know, there. I'm not fucking James Cameron now. Shit.
Well, it's also like, I feel like that he's a character that they kind of like, they choose very sparingly, and he is like a hard character to pull off. But I think this is one where they do a good job with him, especially for how like grim this thing gets between him, Green Arrow, and Harley Quinn. I think they find that right balance of levity for this, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, because it does kind of work well. Because, I mean, there's even, like, the other Green Arrow line I love is just when Green Arrow's, like, working on his computer and so on. And so, I hardly mentioned something on Batman, and Batman, like, literally pops over the screen. He's like, that's correct. He's like, dude, how long have you been fucking listening? And he's like, none of your concern. He's like, yeah, it is of my concern.
Did you see how much porn I downloaded the other day? Shit.
Yeah, of course I did. I deleted it for you because that's what friends do.
I cleared your search history browser. By the way, get help.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe you don't need that kind of help that Superman needs right now, but you there's definitely something wrong going on here. Like, you know,
you're on the list. You're not at the top three, but you're on the list.
You didn't give away all your money again and do something stupid. I mean, it's one billionaire to another. Don't do that. It's fucking dumb.
I mean, I never did do it, but I used you as an example. Like, shit, not doing that.
Yeah. Just become a dirty hippie and just eating chili every day and whatnot and hanging out in the streets. Like,
living off your, like mooching off your friend who works in the military.
Yeah, yeah, let's be honest. If you don't got a butler, what's the point of living?
There was no Alfred in this, was there?
No, there's not. It's actually, you know what's the other one I thought was kind of weird is that there's no Lex Luthor either. It's just like, well, what's he fucking doing? Yeah. He's sleeping for the last 3 days?
Yeah, like, maybe maybe he was in the, I mean.
He could have died in the Metropolis thing.
Yeah, he seems like someone who would have a contingency plan for that. Like, oh, nuclear bomb going off? Oh, I already have 5 different plans for this, you know?
Yeah.
But at the exact same time. I can just imagine all that shit happen. He sees the TV like, now's not the time to put on the purple and green suit. I'm just going to let Clark wait this one out.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Lex, usually you'd be all gung-ho. Like, not today. No. He's a different... he's in a mood today. I'm not gonna roll those dice yet.
You know, and I mean, and realistically, I'll say this, by not having Lex Luthor in there, it makes, I think by not having certain characters in there and literally killing the Joker off right off the bat, it allows for all these other characters to kind of get way more screen time. And I think that sort of works in this movie's favor, you know, is by having a lot more other people in there and so on.
Because I think that Lex Luthor and Superman were like best friends in the game or some shit like that, so... Yeah, I mean, there's some things that I get, like, they just mix around it, because, like, I didn't want to see a recreation of the story from the game, because if I had to be 100% honest, like, the story in the game, it's not, like, horrible, it's serviceable for what it is, but it's just, it's like, oh, you're just coming up with excuses to have the characters fight, that's all this is.
Yeah.
And so to kind of take the bare-bones concept and alter it and make something new, I think totally works, and... I know earlier I was saying, no, this is more of like a mid-range for me. If for people who don't listen to the show too often or don't listen to the DC reviews we do, mid-range for an average DC movie, that's still pretty good. I mean, I still think this movie's totally... It's not like... Didn't blow me away, but I really have no major complaints about it. And every complaint I do have, it's more derivative of this thing just being like linked to Injustice. Because Injustice, it's more of... It's not as bad as this... But it's kind of like a very toned-down ultimatum from Marvel, because when Marvel did Ultimatum, it was like, guess what? Daredevil's dead. Guess what? Fucking Doctor Strange got taken out like a bitch. You don't even fucking Wasp got eaten by the Blob. Yeah, fuck you! You know, where this is like, oh, they'll die off, but it will take a minute to get there, and it's a little bit more of like, shocking when it happens, as opposed just for the sake of shock value.
Yeah, well, I feel like this one, like, a lot of things work. That's the thing about it, is this thing takes that kind of, like, that general, it always comes across like a 15-year-old, like, trying to write fucking, like, a DC comic, like, on the playground. You know what I mean? Like, man, just give Batman and Superman a fight. Like, why is Superman gotta be such a fucking Boy Scout? Like, it just, like, these movies always just have, like, this pent-up, like, you know, kid listening to, like, nu metal sort of feel. I don't know why it always does, but, like, that's always, I mean, that's literally how
Injustice... keep on rolling, man!
That's always how Injustice sort of feels, where it's, like, some, like, it almost reminds me of, like, that one where it's, like, it's the kid reads, like, one Justice League book, and he feels like he knows the entire thing of how it works, you know, that kind of attitude. Sometimes that's how, like, I mean, I'll even say this, that's sort of how even, like, the Injustice, the game kind of feels, like,
yeah,
in a sense, you know, and once again, it, I mean, it's a video game, so, like, that's not what you're there for. You're there to play the game more than anything else, and it's, you know, the storyline holds over, you know, good enough, but it's not like, yeah, it's not like Mortal Kombat 9 or anything like that, but in this one, though, it's like, I think that's the thing, though, is in this one, like, it, you know, I was expecting that kind of story, and then it, like, all just the things it has going on in it, just, like, it's like that story, but done extremely well, and it's just, like, just utilizing these characters and just having these moments. Like, there's even a part where, like, Superman finally learns, he's like, oh, I gotta put my dad somewhere, so he's like, he puts him in fucking, like, Fortress of Solitude by himself. It's like, it's fucking freezing in here, where's the heater at? You know? Just fucking
just one
stumbling around there, being like, oh, you know, son, you got the NFL package? I don't think this is the remote.
He just finds, like, the one, like, oh, good, there's the one space heater. And he's like, now you just gotta find the one outlet. Like, why are the European outlets here?
Yeah, that's all I picture. Him just walk around there. But then they have, you know, like when Batman shows up there, and then Superman's like, I know how to be here first, you know, because Ra's al Ghul told me, and so on. I don't know, he's sounding like Batman, but whatever. Like, they get there, and they have that battle, and then it's like, you know, Batman's other contingency plan is like, okay, Green Arrow, you take the, you know, the kryptonite arrow, and then when he shoots it off, and Superman, like, backhands it, and then it kills, like, you know, Pa Kent and whatnot. That moment right there, where Pa's like, it's not their fucking fault, you know. You know, just, you know, you gotta love your friends, you know. That's what Pa Kent does. See you at the strip club, son. Fucking fades out.
The big strip club in the sky.
Yeah. Unlike your mother, I'm going up there.
Fuck you, you dead, dirty whore.
You know, but like realistically, in the movie, though, that moment, though, is like, oh, that was a good moment right there. Like, it's got a lot of good writing and a lot of good, like, just, like, where you take the things that, like, could just be tossed away and just kind of like, oh, okay, just doing it to do this, but it's like, no, it all sort of works. It's like, and even, like, a lot of the deaths all kind of make sense, and not like that ultimatum, and the ultimatum in Marvel just felt like, once again, like a 15-year-old kid just being like, yeah, just want to see some fucking violence, and yeah, Daredevil's just like, he's just been beaten and raped, and he's laying on the side of the street dead in the gutter like the fucking blind man he is.
And fucking Angel, just like, you know, even though he's been in this whole series and he's been a big character, he's gonna just fly through the window and then get fucking eaten by Sabretooth. Like, wait, what? Yeah! Like, alright, kid. You know. Oh, by kid, I mean Jeff Loeb.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know what Jeff Loeb was doing. He's like, he was listening to, like, the teenage audience or something. I don't know, but,
I think that's actually, not trying to, like, steer us too far off. I think that may have been around the time his son died.
Oh, yeah.
So he could have just been like, fuck everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I get it. But,
I do get, but you're writing for other people. You can't just throw that.
Yeah.
You can't use, once again, it's just like Superman kind of putting too much emotion into it. You don't let your fucking emotions dictate, like, when it comes down to work. You know, see, Batman didn't have that problem. Well, Batman knows what's right. He knows what's up.
Well, more so than, like, that book, I'm surprised, like, because, you know, if someone pitched that, and like, all right, look, we get, you're going through some shit. Let's just take a step back and go over another draft. Aside from having that conversation, how many other people had to be like, Wasp gets eaten, Hank Pym blows up by a bunch of multiple men, Cyclops gets shot in the head after the big battle. Yeah, that sounds good, yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like it was that time period, like, we need to do something ballsy. That's all it felt like, just whatever. Like, I don't care, just do it, like, you know what I mean? Because remember, it was still in the 2000s, so the 2000s, you could still get away with doing all kinds of, like, you know, 90s-esque, like, just do whatever the fuck you want, man. Still Attitude Era, you know what I mean?
Last gasp of it, basically.
Yeah, it's like the lasting, like, end of Attitude Era of, like, fuck it, we want to just piss people off, because, you know, like, that kind of went away after that, but...
It will also... go ahead, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, where it's like, every single death in this one always feels like it has sort of a reason to it. I mean, you know, like, you take out Flash so you can't go back in time. It seems like even by taking out Green Arrow, for some reason, it's like that was kind of like Harley and her and Green Arrow kind of had that connection, so on. And then you sort of took out that kind of figure, too, that kind of made her even shift even farther over, that she's like, yeah, let's, you know, fuck Superman, you know? And even just that scene of, like, when fucking... like Batman, you know, and they're in Arkham, they have this cool battle scene where it's like Superman's there and everybody, and fucking Harley just like kind of fucks up and just like releases everybody, so they get this big old, like, you know, fight scene, and fucking Dick gets killed. It's almost like one of those ones like, whoa, time out everybody, the fuck did you just do? We're kicking and punching each other, the fuck did you just do? And then it's just like looking at Damian and be like, you killed the better son. This is my favorite son. And you killed him. The fuck is wrong? Go put the dunce cap on and go sit in the corner. I don't want to see your fucking face again.
Oh, my dick. My sweet little dick.
Shoot, man. It's time out. Got family matter to deal with right now. You understand. Okay.
Gotta go bury my little dick.
Yeah. I don't want anybody showing up. You know what I mean? I know you guys thinking that, like, oh, maybe we should, you know, bring a pizza on over. No. This is a personal issue. I'm going to go take it out in the gym downstairs. Okay?
He says, oh, and if someone was to bring a pizza over, for fuck's sake, something other than Little Caesars.
Yeah.
Makes hard eye contact with Wonder Woman. Like, you know what I'm talking about.
What, they don't stop paying you in Themyscira? Come on, seriously, like, what are we, fucking cheap? You know what I mean? Shit, you don't gotta go all out, but at least get a round table or something like that, for fuck's sake.
Fucking Little Caesars. Dick wouldn't have wanted it that way, would he have?
No. And it's just like one of those ones, like, but that moment, though, when it's just there, it's just like, see, it's like Batman could be like, have a hard moment and have, like, death of, like, somebody it's like that he's known longer than fucking, you know, Clark's even known Lois and so on like that. And the fact that, like, it's just one of those ones, he's still, you know, calm and confident enough to be like, okay, lace the boots back up, we're back to work again tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, I cried, Catwoman came over, she brought good pizza, you know, one of them fancy places that I can never pronounce the name, but, you know, hey, they're still good. I don't know how she knew that I was down here, because, you know, she wasn't in that last scene, but, you know, women intuition and all that kind of stuff, how it is, you know, they hear a man crying, they can hear it, like, you know, 30 miles away.
That's like a dog whistle.
Yeah, you know, they just gotta come on by and jerk you off and so on, it's all better. Yeah, I probably talked a little too much, but, hey, I'm glad you guys are all here in my new secret lair.
That was all the lead up. Now I'm with the PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah. Don't mind those last pictures right there. I don't really know how they got in there. Last night's kind of all a little bit of a blur, you know? So, good news is Dick's okay. He's now the new dead man, so he's called Deadwing now. So it all worked out, I guess. Which, actually, I'll say this. The Deadwing version of, like, Dead Man is with Nightwing. I think it's actually pretty badass, though.
That is badass. Well, when I first realized that, like, Nightwing was dead, I was like, well, that's sad. I mean, he was there. It wasn't like he was there, then dead. So, oh, now we have a reason to be sad. We saw him working. We saw how good he was. Mm-hmm. We saw how on top of his game he was. He was a full-on character. And he was even the one, like, hey, you're going a bit hard on, like, Damian. Like, he's not of a good boy as you are, Dick. He's not a good boy like you. I can't get that, you know, like, that whole thing. And then, like, once he kills him by accident, like, Robin kills, Nightwing by accident, I was like, well, I guess Nightwing's out of it now. And then when he comes back as, like, the new dead man, I was like, oh, shit, he's still in this. And he's still fucking shit up.
Yeah, well, and when I saw that, too, I started thinking, like, I don't think I've ever seen that in a comic. And I'm like, now it makes me wonder, I'm like, does that happen in one of the comics? I mean, it probably happened in Injustice. That's probably where it came from. But it's one of those ones, like, I feel like, I'm like, that's like literally a run in itself right there.
Well, Deadwing, it makes sense. Why? I don't know what it is. Like, look, acrobats, they have a very high mortality rate. We're just a line going out like the door of heaven for acrobats who are going to be Deadwing. So, or to the new Deadman.
It makes sense, like, lineage-wise. It's just like, it's all on that, like, it's like, you know that contract you sign before you get up on the trapeze and everything like that?
Oh, that's with God.
Yeah. That's with God. Well, the God, it looks sort of like Shiva, because, you know, you think you're going to a Christian place, and then you realize it's not real, and it's all about, you know, the Indian religion and so on. So keep that in mind.
Should have learned some Hindu.
Yeah.
Learned some verses that way.
Sure. That's what Papa Kent said when he came in there and said, well, guess got to take the racist words out now. Like, Papa Kent, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I don't know. I was just hanging out with military guys the last few years in the bar. Strip clubs. It does it to a man. You know what I mean? You know what? I just like the way I grew up. Fuck you.
He gets up to that like crazy. He goes up to that like, you know, like more Eastern, like religious heaven. Goes up there. He's like, what is it? What is it, John? Like, I'm trying to find a way to ask. Is there a way I can get a steak here? Am I going to get sent to hell if I ask the wrong person for a steak?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
is that going to bite me in the ass up here?
Yeah, you know, because if I don't have a steak, you might as well just send me down below. You know what
fuck,
I mean?
I'll take a John Wayne movie by now. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you got a ghee, you got a steak somewhere in here, right? You know what I mean? I mean, I know these cows are sacred to you, but, you know.
How many are there? There's a lot of them.
Let's be honest. We worship the cow in America, too. We worship
just
the cow all fucking day long, and then the cow has one bad day, and then we celebrate it. It's actually a golden age, you see? You understand this now. You know what? Papa Kent here should be, you know, should put me in charge here. I guess we'll start running this place.
Here comes the colonizer.
Oh, Papa Kent. You know, it's like, you know what? I raised a boy from outer space. You ever do one of that before? No, I didn't think so.
You can't call me racist if my son is from space.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm like the most open person when it comes to people from the outside, you know? You know, most people would have been like, ew, he's from space. He's got dirty space germs or whatnot. Oh, don't let him allowed in here. You know what I mean? You know, give him some blankets or something with smallpox. That'll get rid of it. But no, not Papa Kent. Papa Kent takes him in. Teach them the American ways, not the other ways. Keep that fucking in mind. My son is a goddamn patriot, you know. Don't you dare take away that out of his fucking slogan.
I'm just imagining, like, on Earth, like, 76 when the rocket comes and lands, and then Martha and John all crowd around it. Like, the hatch pops open, a little Chinese space baby comes out. Then abrupt cut to, like, them just leaving the basket, like, in front of a fire station going on. Like,
just leaving in front of a Chinese restaurant. It felt logical. I mean, how was I supposed to know he was Mexican? I mean, I hate to say it. I'm not saying that they all look the same, but when they're babies, they kind of do.
What, Martha? I didn't see you stop me. Shit.
Yeah. Fuck, it was your idea.
Let's get some steak.
Yeah, shit. Let's go down to that Indian restaurant and ask him for steak. But yeah, old Papa Kent there, you know.
Is that the next DC movie? Just John Kent. Just like every so often, you'll see like a news flash of like recently the Flash stopped the Rogues again. Fuck this shit. Oh, here we go. NASCAR.
Oh shit. Go on. Only 500 more laps to go. Papa Kent ain't going nowhere today. I just love it's the alternate world where it's just there's no Martha Kent. It's just fucking Papa Kent by himself. And, like, the farm's kind of gone to hell. He's kind of stopped working on it and so on. He's living off some type of fucking grant or something. He just watches TV, drinks beer, goes down to the strip club.
It just sounds like a weird art house movie, and he sounds like, God, this should be super depressing, but he's really happy with his life.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, goddamn right, I'm happy. If I have a fucking problem, you know what I just do? I just go, son, get your ass down here. And then, you know, one, two, oh, there he is. That's all it takes. And then it's
my belt buckle's made out of kryptonite.
Yeah, you know. Tell him that, boy, you take care of your father. You know, no matter what. If I call, you fucking show up. Oh, you know, I don't need no Jimmy Olsen Superman friend watch.
I want to say, like, when they came across, going back to that for a minute, when he came across Jimmy Olsen's dead body, and he just says, like, well, I'm going to take the fucking watch back.
Yeah, watch's fucking expensive.
Maybe I'll give it to my dad. Maybe I'll give it to the guy at the donut shop I really like.
See, that was just one of those ones, like, he's like, you know, I like Jimmy. I just don't want anybody to know that I was actually friends with an Irish person. Sorry, I was raised by my father.
It's one thing to be, like, an old racist dude, but you know it's a whole other level of racism. Like, that old-timey ace, like, oh, that here comes a fucking Mick. Like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's that type. You know.
That's got to be some, like, very deep-seated, like, all right, well.
Just that old school, like, you know what, you just... You know, when you come across on the boat, you know, you just work with the people you know. It's more just, you know, common courtesy that turns out to be more of like a weird stance thing. And then next thing you know, it's like Gangs of New York fucking here.
He was cheering for Daniel Day-Lewis that whole movie. He still hates Leo DiCaprio. We had explained to him, Leo DiCaprio's not even Irish. He still won't hear it.
Yeah, it's tough for him to take. You
don't
know.
Tell him that Daniel Lewis is actually, like, Scottish. That's too close.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just, it's literally a hop, skip, and a jump away from each other.
Is he Scottish?
I don't know.
Anyway.
But beyond Papa Kent and this story, which it seems that I think we just wrote like a 10 times way longer scene than he even has in here and whatnot. But no, like you get like, I guess what we left off on was like where Nightwing kind of dies, becomes Deadwing, which I think is just once again, just is this a fucking awesome concept. I'd like to see more of that, which probably is in the comic book. I'm thinking that's where it all came from. But it's like, I feel like you could literally have a Nightwing solo comic that was just him being Deadwing the whole time and just interacting with people that way. You know, I would love to see that, like, alternative version.
Yeah. No, this, I think that, well, I'll say that, like, they do still pull in some things from the, actually, I'm sorry, I'm pretending like I knew what you just said. The audio went out for a second. I'm like, yeah, I get you. No, what did she just say?
I was just talking about Nightwing being Deadwing and having, like, his own story like that.
Oh, yeah, that would be a totally awesome, like, side project. I would definitely read that or check that out. Eventually, it would probably, of course, come back to life somehow or something. But, because I feel like Nightwing is the one where, of all the characters in Batman's orbit, I feel like Nightwing's the one where every so often, like, okay, he's going to be a cop for a little bit. Wait, no, he's not. He's actually become a secret agent for a little bit. Oh, he's back to Nightwing. Oh, he got shot in the head. He lost his memory. Oh, he's back to Nightwing, you know?
Yeah, he's always kind of returning. And even there's even that part where he's like, he's even going to put the Robin costume back on for a moment. Oh, okay. You know? Mm-hmm. So there is always that kind of stuff there. I do like, because, like, okay, we kind of talked about, like, Batman's sort of team and so on, but then Superman, you know, his team is, like, it's Superman, it's Wonder Woman. He's got Cyborg on his team. I don't know. You know, it's one of those ones, I guess Cyborg's like, you know what? Let's be honest. Going with the safe side.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that when it comes to Superman's team, he has the only person that's really vocal about working with him, in the movie at least, is Wonder Woman. Because I feel like everybody in this is almost against Superman, mm-hmm. with the exception maybe Cyborg, and maybe there's a couple other characters here and there, where there was lines drawn. I want to say in the game it was like, you know, Batman, Harley Quinn, Green Arrow, there's some others, and then Superman's side was Superman, then like basically all the super powerful characters. Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, Shazam.
Well, it's funny in this one too, because there's certain some of these characters too that Green Lantern tries to stop Superman at one point, and then Superman just literally like rips his ring off, fucking just sets him down in a cornfield, and you never see him fucking again.
he is at the table like, hey, I gotta talk to Oa about this. All right, get the fuck out of here then. Go talk to Oa. Go talk to your little fucking blue munchkin.
Oh,
man.
Yeah, that's
all right. Maybe I will.
That's what I do say that. Yeah, I forgot he does leave there. It's the same thing that like Aquaman does, because Aquaman kind of goes like, well, if nobody's fucking telling the Atlanteans what to do, we don't live, us in the deep south don't listen to you northerners and so on. Be like, oh, okay. Like, what's he, what are you gonna do? I'm going back home.
Go hang out with my crab people.
Yeah, exactly. Shit, you know what? They don't tell me what to fucking do. It's like, yeah, because that's because you're king down there. Yeah, exactly. And up here, nobody's telling the Atlanteans what to do. Okay, Aquaman, we'll see you later. Whoop, we need some help. Oh, he's out the door already.
He's already revving up his, like, seahorse. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Yeah. Like a wave runner.
Yeah, exactly. You know, doesn't he know we're in space?
And like, well, then there's also like, plus, because they go out of their way. I think they just wanted to make this a Batman Superman conflict to some extent, because Shazam was a part of the team too, and he's like, well, I gotta go talk to other magical people. Yeah, all right, Billy, you fucking do that. You know, well, there is a lot of like, hey, Superman, we don't like it, and well, we're just gonna go talk over here about it. All right,
yeah,
I'll see you later, maybe.
That's what I fucking thought, you know. I get it, you know. You only, when you only have like less than an hour and a half, you know, there's only so much time for so many characters. But I'll say this: it's like this is one of those ones where they still get a lot of fucking characters across. I mean, even if the characters might not talk or anything like that, just the fact that like Huntress is just there the whole time. I'm like, dude, Huntress like never gets screen time. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's pretty fucking badass. And even like when they go into Arkham, they have a bunch of people there. And I just love that there's that part where they're like going over, like, I think it's like Damian's like pointing out the people. He's like, and I don't even know who the fuck that guy is over there.
It's Calendar Man.
Yeah, Calendar Man just looks down like, oh, that's what all the kids, that's what all the fucking kids say. Nobody.
I feel like they're revving Calendar Man up for something, because he's been popping up in a lot of shit recently.
Yeah.
He was in, he was in both the Long Halloween movies.
Mm-hmm.
He had a cameo in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
He's in this, and he's probably in something else that I'm drawing a blank on right now. I got a feeling they're revving him up for something.
I almost wonder if he's going to be like one of those, like, just like a side character in the new Batman movie. Like
he very well might. They're pulling inspiration from Long Halloween.
So that's where I'm almost thinking that he might be, and that's why he's showing up all the time in here. And they're almost like drawing attention to him, because they're not doing the thing like, you know, where it's like, oh, okay, there's this character and that character. It's like, no, and there's that guy. Who the fuck is that guy? You know, really going like, remember that scene, everybody.
Yeah. Well, just funny, because you look in there, you do recognize them all for a minute. And you and me, you know, a lot of comic people would probably know Calendar Man, but the average person is just like, I played Injustice, you know, they're just being like...
Who's that fat guy with the shaved head, and what the hell is even written across his, like, forehead?
Exactly.
You know.
So, I feel like they're revving him up for something, but yeah, even if it is a small part in Batman or whatever. But, I don't know, I just don't feel like they bring attention to certain characters without their, like, a movie or a show planned down the line.
No.
Now, if I think we're going to Calendar Man movie, it's not like this is being produced by Sony, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's, but at the same time, I just think, like, I don't know. Once Deathstroke started popping in a lot of stuff, next thing you know, they're revving him up for a movie that never came out, but still.
Yeah, well, I feel like in the last 20 years or so, that's what all these DC movies generally are, is just ways to sort of, like, almost get that character kind of like known to, like, because like, I always feel, because these movies are almost like the bridge between like the comic audience and then just the movie only audience. These movies kind of like bridge that gap a little bit, you know, because it's like the comic book audience will definitely watch it, but then you'll get some of the people that watch movies that would never read comics, they might check out some of these movies maybe.
How I think these started, I think, like, you know what, you know, there is an audience for like direct-to-DVD animated movies, you know what I mean? Look at Disney, look at this, look at that. But we can make it just slightly more PG-13. We don't got to go out of our way to make it too dark. We could just make it just a little bit more darker, and we'll get the kids who want their parents to buy them the movie, and then they'll get the comic book fans who say, oh, it's closer to the comic. And then they just steadily got darker and darker as the audience grew older with it.
Yeah, because I think it was that sort of thing when they realized that, like, shit, Batman the Animated Series our audience is actually a lot of old people in there too. It's not just, it's not the classic, like, it's just like the 10-year-old kids. It's literally like, oh shit, we got, not only do we have the kids, but we actually have people up to, like, you know, their 40s and so on watching this. And I think the same thing with X-Men and all that other stuff, you know, and so on. And I think that kind of made companies kind of realize, like, oh, well, you know what? Like, what if we kind of, we already have a built-in audience from the animated series and Superman and all that kind of stuff. It's like, shit, let's just kind of keep carrying that on, and then we'll use the comic books as kind of the thing that we're using to sell it, and we'll just retell, like, classic stories. And then, yeah, as I said, they've gotten more and more kind of adult. I mean, they really started off as, like, you know, a standard PG-13 affair, and then as they kind of went on, they got more intense. Like, this is one of those ones that's, like, I remember it's rated R, but it's really only, like, for a couple moments. It's not, like, it's not as hardcore rated R as some of the other ones have tried to be.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm surprised this one got R, because I feel like if this came out maybe, like, 10 years ago, this probably would have got a PG-13. Like, there's, okay, he punches through Joker, blood shoots out, but it's not like there's organs or anything, and I know that in itself is still, like, an R-rated thing, but I feel like more violent things have happened in past movies that were PG-13, you know? Like, I feel like this is one of those things where if it wasn't for, like, this one or two shots,
yeah,
then this probably would have been a PG-13.
No, I think it's definitely just that borderline rated R. Like, it's just over the line slightly, you know. I think that's all it really is. I mean, I don't think it's one of those ones, like, they're really trying to make this, like, a hardcore one, like they did, like, the Hell to Pay or something like that. But it's just enough. Like, I feel like it would seem a little bit like, oh, that's ballsy if it was PG-13. You know, I think it's just enough over that. But, you know, yeah, at the same time, like, I was almost expecting it. Like, I wasn't too sure if it was going to go, like, super violent. Since, you know, it is kind of coming from, like, a spinoff of, like, you know, NetherRealm Studios. You know, you kind of makes you wonder, like, where they're going to take it.
Well, that's the thing also, because, like, it's by the guys who did Mortal Kombat, so that means it's going to be, no, it's still be PG-13. Okay, and you play the game. Like, well, it's dark for a DC thing, but it's still within the PG-13 realm. And then, like, you see this, like, no, the movie, we're going all out. Well, not really, but kind of, you know? Like, the only thing, I think it's just Joker punch. It's Joker getting punched through, and then, like, maybe, like, I don't know.
There's a couple other, like, bloodshot
headshots
death scenes.
Or whatever. Yeah. You know, like, someone get, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, like Adam dying. When Adam gets, like, chemoed. Yeah.
Poor Adam. It's like, okay, Adam, you go inside Superman's brain right now and so on. And you just, you take that kryptonite, like, needle, and you just, like, kind of find a place to wedge it. And then all of a sudden, Ra's al Ghul comes in there. He's like, here, breathe this in. This will fuck up those little bastards in there. And did you just,
poor Adam.
You see Adam just like, oh, just running away from the gas and just nowhere to fucking go.
What if he just went big and explode out of Superman's head?
I know,
just
I know. Fuck it. I've been like, you know what? I can live, and we can solve another problem at the same time. I know Batman, it's one of those ones, like, I mean, like, I didn't try to kill him. I just kind of got big and happened to be inside his head at the same time.
I mean, problem solved, I guess. I mean, yeah, by then, maybe just stab it down. Like, you realize what's happening down. Like, well, I'm taking you with me, motherfucker. Stab it down and just, boom, get out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Or do you think that with Superman's head be so strong that if you got big, he would actually be the one smashed inside there?
I can see that, but I could see, like, maybe it would still cause some damage, I imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine. It feels good.
Yeah. Or at least use that to drill out. Like, hold that and, like, grow big with stabbing that into him. I don't know, into the skull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know, we're splitting hairs. I'm like, how would Adam survive if... This kind of goes the whole...
It's not necessarily splitting hairs, it's more just kind of thinking of, like, how would that happen? Well, like, what would exactly happen when that goes on, you know what I mean? Like, I think that's more what it is. It's like, because it is just kind of, like, you know, when you think about Superman, like, you know, obviously he could, like, you know, take a punch, take a bullet, take all this kind of stuff. Is a man expanding himself inside his, you know, head going to really... What's that going to do?
Well, did you hear the whole, I mean, now it's old news, but did you hear about the whole the Ant-Man versus Thanos theory of how he could beat him?
I feel like I did. Like, this was, like, one of the ones that came out, like, 5 years ago.
It was, like, right around when, like, it would have been, like, right
Endgame.
When, like, Endgame would have come out. The idea was, like, he'd go up Thanos' asshole and grow big from inside and kill him that way. So people are just making jokes and memes about that. And when What If was coming out, somebody put out like a fan poster that looked really well done. It looked like it was meant to be taken seriously, but it was just like a shot of Ant-Man small and looking up like right at Thanos' ass, like he's getting ready.
See, I feel this is what would happen in that one. Thanos would just like clench real hard and smash him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I don't know, like that's it. Once again, I hate to say it, that sounds like one of those those theories that comes out from people that read one fucking let's be honest, they didn't read a fucking book. They watched the fucking Marvel movies.
They watched the YouTube video. They watched the YouTube video on it at most on like someone's character's history.
Yeah, if that even. That's probably too far for someone like that. Like I felt like they watched the movie and they felt like they knew the character better than anybody who's ever written them, and yeah, they were going to solve all the world's problems. Cuz that's what I always feel whenever you hear those kind of theories, it's kind of like I feel like you obviously haven't read enough of the comics, have you? Yeah, and I'm guessing you probably haven't read any of the comics, to tell you the truth. Or watched enough of the movies.
I think it's people just having fun with it, but at the same time, I just like the idea of just him trying that, and then, like, Josh Brolin and that gravelly-ass voice, like, no one's ever entered my ass before. This is a new feeling to me. Only one thing to do. And just a shot of him just, like, clinching, and then, like, you know, just, like, Ant-Man's radio cuts out, like, we lost him, we lost him.
Okay, guys, whose bright idea was that? We knew that wasn't going to fucking work. Tony?
It was a last-ditch effort. Tony's like, all right, I guess I got to kill myself in order to make this happen. Man.
You know, when you put my grave together, I don't want you to put down that you sent Ant-Man to his asshole doom.
Well, that's what we're going to put on, Scott's grave. He died in the asshole of a Titan.
I mean, if anything, he could have been stuck in that van the whole time. I mean, what's worse, being stuck in that van or dying in the asshole?
Probably the asshole, Tony. Yeah, well, you know.
You know, tit for tat, whatever. Fuck you guys.
I'm about to die. Snap, click.
Yeah, but poor fucking Adam just doesn't make it there and so on. But I guess also when you get to the end, because this is the part that gets to, like, when Rachel Gould's like, okay, hey, Superman, I gave you an offer before. It was pretty sweet and so on. And now you're back because, you know, why? I'm an awesome fucking guy. Look at my fucking grandson. He's got a sword. Isn't that pretty fucking cool? Yeah. Okay, like, here's the thing. Takes that thing off, and it's like, at first I thought it was going to be Lois. Like, I thought the whole point was like, oh, he's going to have Lois and then be like, hey, guess what? I got this Lazarus pit. We can bring her back to life. I mean, she's going to be fucking a crazy bitch for the first couple of months, but she'll be back, you know, just saying. You know, and then
you got pad of rooms for that.
Yeah, and then it wasn't. It's like, oh, okay. And I also thought it was going to be, oh, he's going to have under. I mean, I know they show the tarp beforehand, but I thought, like, oh, maybe now, like, he's going to be like, hey, you bring your dad back to life. Actually, dad doesn't want to come back. He says that titty bars are free in heaven.
Yeah, it sounds like him.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sounds like my dad on the weekend.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, yeah, I guess there's a, you think he would have just jumped the Lazarus pit. Like, that's, he probably would have gone to the Lazarus pit before he went to, like, world's gonna change right now since I lost my wife, you know?
And maybe that just goes with the sort of the Flash thing, like, they just didn't want to have any of those kind of turn back time type stuff, because that's still kind of a turn back time. Like, oh, well, she's dead. Well, you just fix it. Just throw her in, like, the, you know, in the hot tub, and she'll come back to life. You know, but instead, though, it actually is kind of interesting because they use a mezzo, and it's like, oh, actually, I didn't know that was not what I was expecting whatsoever to come out from under that tarp.
But there comes a point where after a while, I stop kind of like questioning what character is it going to be. I'm like, I'll just find out. I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting a mezzo, but I'm not like, oh my god, a mezzo, what? You know,
you weren't amazed by a mezzo coming out.
No. Well, the thing about a mezzo is he's one of the most powerful characters in, like, one of those powerful, I guess, not main villains, but I guess, like, one of those villains they fight once in a while. But he just looks so fucking stupid. And he's got such a stupid fucking name. So whenever you're trying to show someone something like Red Hood for the first time, which you know is a good movie, you just gotta get to the first 10 minutes where they fight a robot dressed like a fucking jester called Amazo. So
yeah, there is that. It's like the equivalent of, like, the anime character that's just, like, a little bit too wacky and goofy.
Yeah, so it's like, no, trust me, this is, like, one of the best ones. Just watch this. Okay. Oh, wow, Robin's dead. Oh, wow, this, that. Wow, this is surprising. Are they fighting a clown, like, elf thing in tights called a mezzo? Like, it's short. Just give it a minute. It's just gonna...
Yeah, it does have... I mean, I'll say, like, Amazo is, like, that 1960s character from back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, I'll say, if you kind of get rid of his name and sort of, like, his look... and so on like that. It actually is kind of an interesting character, just the cyborg who can just kind of absorb other people's powers and use it and so on. Like, it's not a bad, like, character, something like that, but it does just have a very old-fashioned Amazo! Kids, come down to the local store tonight and get yourself an Amazo action figure, you know? Mm-hmm. It has that that sort of, like, feel to it. But I will say, just the fact that it's, like, one's like, you just don't see that guy being used too often, and being used as almost, like, a main villain in one of these animated ones. So at least it was, like, it wasn't, like, a character that is, like, oh, you know, here's, you know, Brainiac again, or here's, you know, Doomsday, or here's any other, you know, it's like, oh, no, that's actually kind of cool that it is just something different. And I feel like in a movie like this, like, by this point, you're like, are you in or are you out? Is the Amazo thing going to throw you off at this point?
There's that, and then there's also a little bit of that thing of when they actually, because after they defeat Amazo, that's where they bring in from, like the video game, they bring in a Superman from, like, a good Superman from a parallel world, where he comes in, he's just like, here is how Superman's supposed to be. Gets smacked out of the fucking way, and it takes Lois to come in.
Well, they do have a pretty badass Superman battle.
They do.
I will say, like, that's the thing, though, is before he does get smacked out of the way, it is just, like, one of those, like, the battle scenes are fucking awesome in this one. They got, like, this slobber knocker one where they're just using fucking objects and so on, going, like, full DBZ out here. It is pretty badass, but then he does get knocked out, and then it's like, okay, contingency plan, bring out the pregnant Lois from the other world. You're like, well, you know, my husband got killed by Brainiac.
Sounds like a bitch.
Yeah. Come on, bring out somebody else. You know what? This is not working for me.
Clark is just looking over it, like,
just like, oh, he's just like, come on. They fucking pull somebody else out.
That's where they pull out, like, the feeble ass, like, Superman from, like, Flashpoint. Like, fuck, no, not him.
No, not the one. Look, he looks like he's been fucking hanging out underneath the red sun the whole time. He's like, well, he has been.
Friends? Fucking put him back, no.
No, don't give him my fucking email address. Come on, Mr. Terrific. I thought you were the third smartest person in the world. You know, I take that as kind of an insult. Yeah. But guess what? Is your name on the fucking, like, cover of the movie? No, but neither is yours. Yeah, but it's on, like, every other one. Go find somebody else.
I feel bad they always make Mr. Terrific. I honestly think Mr. Terrific should be the... They should just make him officially the first smartest person in the world.
Yeah.
Because what? He's got, like, it's like Lex Luthor, I think, is number one, Batman number two, then Mr. Terrific. And they keep on saying, like, Mr. Terrific, number three, bronze! You know? Yeah. Like, well, I mean,
it's just like, nobody remembers that person in the Olympics, let's be honest.
Does Batman ever create interdimensional technology? No, but he knows how.
But he knows how to patent it.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like that's the two difference between Lex Luthor and Batman to Mr. Terrific. Is Mr. Terrific creates all this great stuff, but he also loses his patents, and so he doesn't have that part down because he's always in space. they always literally leave him up there, be like, hey, you know, we're all going off to do some cool shit. Can you make sure that when the propane guy comes by, he knows where the tank's at? Yeah, thanks, Mr. Terrific. You know, and you know, there's some steaks in the freezer. Don't eat them. I want that when I get back. So just letting you know they're there, but they're mine. So yeah, looks like this place needs to be cleaned up too. So you got that right. Okay, see ya.
You can get your little, like, floating balls on that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I honestly think they should just make him, because I always liked Mr. Terrific.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome character.
I was reading that series, The Terrifics, when it came out. It's like a team of, like, it's Mr. Terrific, Plastic Man, Metamorpho, and I don't know if she's a new character or just some obscure character they pulled off the shelf, a girl named Ghost, who just kind of, Kitty Pryde, is able to phase through shit. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that series is really awesome. So I was like, oh, cool, Plastic Man, Metamorpho, and Mr. Terrific, and this new Ghost character is cool too, I guess, you know, but yeah. But, just, I want to say they made a point of that, like, he's always offended with, like, third smartest man. Like, well, you know, you don't see... I mean, it just feels so weird, because, like, you think when you know how to make interdimensional technology and you living up in space and have all these drones everywhere, you think that, like, I mean, I'm not saying Batman's dumb, but I'm just... Just assuming. I never seen Batman make a warp gate. I'm just saying.
Well, and I'll say this. You know, Batman's smart, but sometimes when they make Batman, like, that's his special ability. That's his superpowers. He's smart, 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 smart. Sometimes it's like, okay, let's pull that back a little bit. I think Batman's a very well-rounded person and so on like that, but a lot of times I'm going to say, like, I don't think he's, like, literally the smartest character in all this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's good. He's conniving. He's got all these kind of, you know, abilities and so on, and he can outthink people and so on like that, but I feel like if you were coming down just, like, the single smartest person, like, I feel like Batman doesn't need to be that, like, hold that mantle.
Yeah, agreed. Mr. Terrific, he was a replayable character in Injustice, was he?
No, I don't think so. He was just in, like, the background on one level, if I remember correctly, like,
working on the computer. Like, will you guys stop fucking fighting?
Yeah, exactly. Like,
he was, like, his floating sphere things were obstacles to throw someone into or some shit. God damn it, I just fixed those!
Like, you could throw the other character in the Mr. Terrific, and all it does is it just throws and hits him in the back of the knee, so he falls down like, oh, fuck, guys, come on! Just like one of those ones where it doesn't really look like anybody got damaged, just this one's just really fucking annoying.
The Watchtower's janitor. Like, hey!
Whoa. Okay, you could be the number one watch janitor. That fucking makes it worse! He was like, hey, I don't do that. My balls do that. You know what I mean.
Fuck you. I don't see how this place does without the third smartest man in the world. Fuck.
And then Martian Manhunter comes by. He's like, but they call me the fourth smartest one. He's like, go fuck yourself, Martian Manhunter. You know what I mean? He's like, well, I used to be a member of the Justice League, too. You're like, yeah. You did. You know what? And you're not now. Now you're number 8. How do you like being that?
Oh, I'm higher up than you are. Fuckhead.
I like how it's like, he's like still kind of sheepish about it. Kind of like there's that part like in Goodfellas where like Joe Pesci's fucking with the one guy and like shoots him in the legs. He's like, hey, why don't you come out while you're dancing for me? Ha! Like, yeah, why don't you go fuck yourself, Joey? What? Yeah, why don't you go fuck yourself? He just, like, stares at him blankly.
Exactly, and someone like that.
Just gets unloads on him right there, like, just, there's something about that when, like, they're saying, like, and there's just something funny about, like, hey, look at this mook right here, like, fuck you.
Yes.
Want to make eye contact when you say that? No, just, okay, I'm just going this way.
Yeah, it's like, you know, just that, like, you know, borderline is like talking tough but not really acting tough. I do kind of like once everything's all said and done in this flick and so on like that, Superman's like, I did wrong. Okay, you know what, guys, you can just kill me. Batman's like, fuck, I ain't killing you. You're getting 300 years of community service picking up, you know, trash on the side of the road. That's what you fucking get.
Here's your bright orange vest.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And when I drive by in the Batmobile, expect, you know, a case of trash that I'll have, you know, Alfred prepare and not clean out properly and just have it be old meat and junk and shit. And I'm just going to chuck it at you every time I drive by and laugh and point and laugh. You know what I mean?
That's the post-credits scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's that, and then there's also the scene, too, where Batman's like, he meets Catwoman. He's like, hey, Catwoman, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, you know, gonna be needing a new son. Hey, Dad, I'm standing right here. I need a new good son.
Now give me some of that face pussy.
Come on, Catwoman, you want to make another dick with me?
The credits.
That's literally how it is.
Spin Doctor's Play.
It needs a rap song that comes in and reminds you of the entire story of the movie at this point.
Grandma's boy.
It's one of those ones where, like, Jimmy Olsen, he was here, then he got shot in the face while he was trying to take a photo. Joker came out. Like, one of those ones where it just goes to the whole, like, plot.
Does it even fucking rhyme? No, it doesn't.
It doesn't rhyme. It just tells it, you know. Superman was angry, and then he saw his dad hanging out at the stripping club. Be like, dude, who did you get this? It's like, well, my son says he's into the rap and so on.
It's his friend's group, you know.
Yeah, one of those ones.
His dad's one of the producers.
Yeah, exactly. But no, overall, though, like, once again, I don't know. Maybe just because this movie, like, surprised me more. Like, I actually liked this one quite a bit. Like, I felt like it was, you know, even for, like, some of the, you know, maybe, like, the, in a sense, mostly it's just a Superman thing. Because I don't know. I guess that's always kind of, I know some people always look at Superman and be like, oh, big blue Boy Scout. Like, who thinks makes him so fucking special and so on like that. You know, like, I always feel like Superman's one of those ones, like, in a sense, like, Superman, he wouldn't fall to, like, if shit kind of went downhill, he always could handle it. I think that, like, I know it's that thing that people like to do in writing where, like, you try to weaken a character, you know what I mean, by, like, fucking, like, kicking him in the kneecaps type stuff. And sometimes I feel like it's sort of like Batman and so on, like, I'm like, dude, it's these people's fucking job is to keep it under fucking control, you know what I mean? You know, like... It's that sort of thing. Like, they're fucking professionals here. Like, you know what I mean? All you guys aren't acting like fucking professionals. I'm the only fucking professional here. Like, you know, that's how I sort of feel. It's like, it's one of those ones that anybody who's in pretty much the Justice League ain't going to fuck up, in a sense. I mean, I know that it works for storytelling, but let's be honest. If it's, like, realistic, these guys, there's a reason why they're in the Justice League. If they were a loose fucking cannon, they wouldn't be in the Justice League.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, it's also one of those things where... It's just anything. I get that, like, there's a period in time. Be like, oh my god, I just had an idea. What? What if everything? What if, it's all superhero shit, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What if it was all fucked up and depressing and dark? Oh my god, dude, what? Oh, that's because it's superhero shit, so it's usually optimistic. But if it's fucked up and dark, then oh wow, yeah. I feel like that's been ran into the ground by now. Mm-hmm. And even though that is still kind of one of the things pushing this, I think this still at least... It moves... It's the story's entertaining enough, and it moves up at a logical pace. Where the story in the game, it wasn't good, wasn't great, but it was serviceable for being a video game. Mm-hmm. You know, just for being a reason for them to fight.
Yeah, I mean, that's all you need for the game.
Yeah, where this is, like... If you're going to take that and make a story out of it, this works... It's enjoyable. It's not by any means one of my favorite DC movies, animated movies, but it's still fun. I still think it's probably, I mean, I haven't read the comics, but if we're just talking just strictly on the games, this definitely is a really good, like, version of it. So, you know, I was a little sad to see this character go so quickly or easily, but at the same time, there's so many characters in this thing. If one character dies, at least five others there that you like, you know.
Yeah, it gives, so, gives yeah. a lot for, like, you know, just character-wise and so on.
Yeah. So, yeah, I totally dug this thing. I feel like the like, I mean, you know, I guess you could say Dark Knight Returns, but Batman's always been kind of a dark character, but I feel like Kingdom Come was one where just like, oh, shit, what? It's dark, but then it ends up optimistic? Okay, cool. But then... Since then, though, it happens so frequently. It's like, all right, yeah, everything's down. Superman's evil again, or whatever. Okay, you know.
Yeah, well, that's. I mean, is like because I think that's the thing. Is this kind of I feel storyline has been used quite often, but it's that thing that I felt like they dialed it in pretty darn well in this. Even though that like you feel like you see that kind of like the bad Superman because it's never bad Batman. You ever notice that it's never Batman's gone bad. It's always Superman goes
unless
bad.
It's Red Sun.
Well, that one, Batman's just more like a terrorist, because in that one, he's just like, yeah. Look at me, I'm fucking up the system, you know what I mean? Oh, you know what, speaking of fucking up the system, this is the one scene we didn't talk about that I was fucking laughing, like, hardcore, is there's a part when Superman's finally getting, and he's like oh, okay, yeah, I'm putting my thumb down on all you little fucks, we're making you sign, you know, peace treaties, I kicked, you know, North Korea in the fucking balls and took their, you know, nuclear missiles away from them, fucking America was trying to escape in their subs, and what, they didn't think I was gonna fucking catch them? You know, and then there's a part where like Superman's like he's flying through town, just like, looking around. He's like, "Huh, what's that loud racket and noise? And why is there all these neon lights coming out in here?"
I forgot about this story.
I thought fucking Fast and the Furious 1 was done with, and he goes inside, and the look on Superman's fucking face is just that one. Like he has that look of like a parent just like coming into like this like giant child like you know fucking like party going on where it's almost like just going into like a rave or something like that. It's just like he's just looking around, just as wide eyed as fucking possible, like fucking slack jawed, just like, what are you fucking kids doing in here? And then he gets like the look. He's like. are you fucking kids dressed up as the fucking Joker? And some of the kids are just like, yeah, man, like, you know what? You're telling us, like, the Joker's fucking bad, man. But you know what? Rethink it, think. Like, maybe the Joker, is he's like a revolutionary leader. And you just didn't understand him, old man.
You know, I was like, I'm glad he killed all those fucking people. I'm gonna say that right there. I was like, yeah, like most of them was like, Superman, pull it back. Like, no, fuck all that. Yeah, go for it.
No, I definitely agree because I feel like those were all a bunch of shitty kids. But I think that's just what makes it fucking hilarious. Is it just had that feeling like, whatever, man. Like, this is punk rock now. Being the Joker is what it's about. You know, the clown is coming back in style. What are you gonna do about that, Supes? Well.
Okay.
Oh, fuck it. Yeah, if that's how it's going to fucking be. Laser eye fucking time.
I was, like, dying of laughter on that part just because I was like, yeah, fuck all these assholes, you know? Because, like, I, like, had no... There are parts where I'm just like, yeah, you, that's not cool. That's not cool. Oh, no, that's fine. I totally get it. The freeways are a little congested. All these guys are probably shitty drivers anyway. Go for it.
Yeah, exactly. I just love that part of just being like, those fucking kids need to learn a goddamn fucking lesson. What? That's what Papa Kent would have done.
And what if it was like, wasn't even a Joker party? It was just an ICP party?
I mean, that's about two steps off from what it might have been.
Maybe. I just saw clown makeup and I had PTSD.
Be like, dude, that was insane clown posse concert going on down there. Be like,
close enough. It's a gateway drug.
Like, you know, was this what the kids listen to? Actually, not anymore. This is like what the 50-year-old people listen to. It's been a while, Supes. What? It's not Mott and Hopple anymore or something like that? Like, I mean, you're telling me, like, it's not the Flying Burrito Boys? You know, that's what I was listening to in Smallville. That was the hip jams.
If you really wanted to piss off your parents, let me tell you, you put on some Los Lobos.
Yeah, exactly. When they heard the Spanish music part come in, oh gosh, oh boy,
look out,
boy! You couldn't watch
you're
La Bamba
a stern
around
to
my parents. But I don't know what it is. It's just like, I just love the look on fucking Superman's face when he goes in there. I was just laughing so hard because it just looked like, in a sense, it just made him feel like he was a fucking 60-year-old man coming in and be like, the fuck is, the kids are out of control.
I was just laughing on that scene. Like, good. No, go for it. Go for it. Like, when Wonder Woman's all like, I know it was a momentary lapse in judgment, but don't do that again. I'm like, oh, come on. You know, that's one of the only ones I totally get. I totally get where he's coming from that one. You know, come on.
Yeah, come on. Shit. You know, I mean, it's like, well,
but you'd be the one
Lois,
kid.
You weren't fucking there. You just got this re-edited footage. You know what I mean? Like, that's not what's fucking going on. You should have saw these kids. You know what I mean? Like, I was fucking saving the future. You want these fucks to, like, go out and have a bunch of fucking, like, crotch goblins? No, no, you don't.
They're... I mean, these kids were—they had like baggy pants. They had like cans of Mickey's. Like, I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like, in my day, you know, you got a six pack, and it was after a hard day's of work on the farm, and you split it with a buddy, you know, and then maybe on the drive home, you jerked each other off in the truck, but that was about it.
Listening to some John Mellencamp, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's as wild as, like, a shindig we would have is.
Let me tell you about a party I had once. Just cuts to him and, like, three other guys just sitting on a porch, not even talking, while, like, Pink Houses plays. Yeah. Oh, man, that was a fun, wild time, let me tell you.
Oh, that was the old Hootenanny. I even love how, like, Batman's like, oh, I should stop him. I mean, like, you know, I don't like the music either, but, like, you know. And then, like, Catwoman's like, no, it's better this way.
Yeah,
believe me, that club there is just, it just doesn't invite anybody good.
Well, that's also that kind of that moment of Batman Begins, like, I'm not gonna kill you, but I don't have to save you. It's kind of like totally that right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's not my fault if the train goes off the rails and crashes and explodes and so on. I mean,
you're the one that stabbed it, not me.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, just saying. That's Batman logic.
Liam Neeson.
But I think this is one of those ones, though, that is a definite must-watch movie for anybody who's, like, a DCU fan. Like, I definitely think it is just one of those ones. It's a good time, you know? You know, no matter, like, whether or not, like, it might be, like, one of your top-tier favorites or anything like that. I think it's just one of those ones. It delivers hardcore for what it is, you know? And I guess that's what kind of surprised me the whole way through it. I really enjoyed the whiff there and so on. And, yeah, it's just been a fucking good year of DCU movies, you know? We just keep getting them, and they've all been pretty solid all in all.
Yeah. They get a lot in there for being a little hour and 18-minute movie. So, you know, it doesn't, like, feel super rushed, but it also doesn't feel like too light either, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of how animation, like, it's almost that weird thing that you almost get more in like an hour and, you know, 18 minutes than you do in like a 2.5 hour long like live action movie.
I can see it case by case. Yeah, I can definitely see that sometime. There's some animation where you can just condense information quicker and just feels more natural.
Yeah, I think it's just because everything flows faster, where, like, a movie, I think just when it's in live action, it always has to take its time and so on like that, and just that adds up to, like, you know, well, we only had time for 3 characters to show up in this movie, so that's what you get. Tune in next time, where this one, it's like, no, we got, like, 60 fucking characters in this thing, you know? And you're probably wondering how we all fit in there. Well, you'll see. But good stuff to be had. Check this bad boy out. Put a little link in the description, all that kind of stuff. But beyond all that good, fun stuff, go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, old animations, and all that other good times. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.